Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Dick poop.
Talking to your doctor about your poop?
So simple, it just might work.
Yeah! Loophole! 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 Loophole!
Turd Ferguson.
Yeah.
This show sucks! The old poop hole loophole, you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember the poop hole loophole.
That's something. Good times. All right, well, welcome back to our show.
I just saw the, remember that Brian Laundrie guy?
Yeah, I was reading that too.
Yeah, I guess they released today. He's the one that killed the, well, allegedly, Gabby Petrino, I think her name was.
Yes.
He went missing in the Florida Reserve and all that. Well, I guess they said in his notebook that they found he did admit to killing her.
So, correct.
The case is, because that was still an open investigation.
It was, but come on.
I know, but we didn't know if there was someone else involved or exactly how it went down, and they didn't say the details of it, but they said he admitted it in the notebook and that her parents were satisfied with the conclusion, and this ends the case. The FBI shut it down. So I'm assuming in a thing like that, I guess it gives you some measure of solace, at least as a family member, that you know what happened, and you know that... There's some sort of conclusion to it, so you can start the healing process. I had thought about that case in a while, and then I just saw that they released, at least to the parents, the context of the notebook that they found.
I have snake news if you'd like.
Odd snake news.
Yeah, this is. I hate these stories. These are so creepy to me. But we go to primetime Washington D.C.
The snake capital of the world?
Apparently.
Now, is that? Remember that? There's that, like, somewhere there's a snake island. It's just some, like, uninhabited island, but I guess it's just full of, like, deadly vipers.
Right.
And the only people that go there are, like, researchers, but...
Hey, that's the perfect place for snakes.
Yes, but imagine, like, you're like, a shipwreck guy, right? You go down in a ship or a plane crash, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm dead. And then off on the horizon, you're like... My salvation, an island, like Tom Hanks, Wilson, then you get there and it's Snake Island. What do you like?
Do you do? Do you just keep floating? What are you? Are you on a ship?
No. Like, you crash. You crash.
No, let's say the better scenario is you're on a ship and you are.
You're adrift at sea?
Yes. You're adrift, but you have...
You're not going to drown, but the ship is just drifting, and you don't know if a storm's going to come up and catch. Your boat has become incapacitated.
Right.
You've been drifting for a couple of days.
Yes.
You don't know if anyone's coming to save you, and you run aground.
I don't even know if that's a real thing, but yes. That's
Snake Island.
Yeah, and you see Snake Island. Do you keep floating, or do you stop at Snake Island?
I think you probably have to stop, right?
Do you?
Are you hungry and thirsty?
What are you going to do on Snake Island besides die?
We'll eat the snakes.
Okay, Bear Grylls.
Well, look, if you are desperately hungry and thirsty after days floating on a ship,
I don't think
you wouldn't attempt something.
Well, can you eat what do you do with the venom? Like,
well, you got to cut the head off.
Okay.
And then bury it.
Okay.
But you still have to, you're on an island of nothing but
wait,
deadly
can
snakes.
Can you just eat a venomous snake?
Yes, because the venom is in the glands up
it's
by
the
neck.
It's in the head, yeah.
So okay. If you cut off the head.
We can get the snake meat?
You can get the snake meat. But you all have right. to kill, by the way, it's off the coast of Brazil. You still have to kill venomous snakes.
Look, it makes no sense. But in the situation you have created, you're dying. That's why I say, would you stop on Snake Island? Probably, because you have no idea where else you're going.
I think you're just adrift. I think I'd rather take my chances just being adrift and hope I come across an island that isn't Snake Island. You're going to go foraging for food and water on Snake Island?
What if you find the island that the Tonga volcano was on, and as you land, it just blows up? Puts you out of your misery?
You get there like, yes, boom. At least that's better than being on Snake Island.
Did you guys see the videos, by the way, of that from like a distance, and you can hear it sound like a cannon?
Oh yeah.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I guess you could hear it from like forever.
Yeah, amazing. It shattered people's eardrums on some of the smaller islands around it. By the way, 2,000 to 4,000 golden lancehead vipers, one of the deadliest snakes in the world.
Nope.
The entire island is swarming with them.
Nope. No chance.
The viper's venom can kill a person in under 1 hour with one bite.
Yeah, dude, I'm staying on the boat.
Maybe that's merciful. You won't die of starvation. You'll die from venom.
Numerous local legends tell of horrible fates that await those who wandered onto the shores of Snake Island.
Okay, Mike brings up an interesting point. What if now you're floating and you're like, I'm going to die. You're starving. You're losing your marbles. You have no energy, right?
Yeah.
Do you go to Snake Island to put yourself out of your misery? Do you give yourself to the snakes?
I just drown. I just Peter Pan it off.
Don't you think that'd be hard, though?
Yeah, like, you can't just drown.
Yeah, like
why not?
Because your body is going to...
You just open and go, and you take all the water in, and then it's over.
I guess, but that'd be hard. I think that'd be hard to do.
I feel like I read somewhere that it's almost impossible to drown yourself because your body will...
Well, you
get you out of the situation,
right? Like you're going to try. Your body's going to try to not do it. He's like, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah. By the way, there was a lighthouse on there back in the day, like in the 20s. Would you care to guess what happened to the last lightkeeper and his entire family?
He fell in love with snakes.
No.
And married one.
Married a snake. Yeah.
They found
killed by snake
when the lighthouse went out. Right. Someone showed up and was like, hey, what's up with the lighthouse? They found the entire family dead in the home with a, is it a card? Cadre? I don't know. A cadre of snakes, whatever a group of snakes is.
Wasn't it a pit of snakes?
Well, this says a cadre, I think.
A cadre?
Cadre?
I don't know how you pronounce
it. A cadre of snakes slithered into his home through the windows. Killed the entire family, Mike.
Is that C-A-D-R-E?
Yes.
How do you pronounce that? I've only ever seen that written.
All I know is a bunch of snakes went in through the window, killed the lightkeeper and his entire family.
I'm not telling you to live there, Suk. I'm just saying.
Stay on the boat.
Stay on a boat. Have a tool. Take one snake, chop its head off, and have yourself some dinner.
You're staying floating, right?
Yeah, I'm floating, dude. I'm not messing
around. I'll take my chance. Maybe there's another island without snakes.
Exactly. You're only 90 miles away from Brazil. And I mean, I know you don't know that, but I'm still floating.
What about Poisonous Spider Island right next door?
I think I'd rather be on Snake Island, to be honest with you.
Than Poisonous Spider
really?
Island?
Really?
Well, I can see I'm looking at these lancehead vipers, and they're big and they're bright yellow.
Okay.
Poison Island, or Poison Spider Island, spiders are little. I can't see them coming.
And there's thousands of them.
And then you're walking through a web. I got to take my chances on Snake Island than I do Poison Spider Island.
You ever seen, I think it was in Brazil, so it probably would happen on this imaginary island we're talking about, where like they had like thousands of spiders and they were all floating on webs that were in the, like attached to like trees and light posts. And like the entire sky was filled with spiders.
Cool.
That's not cool. It's just all
terrifying.
Bad. Yeah, it's all bad.
I don't mind spiders, but I think that, I hate snakes. I'm terrified of snakes.
Yeah.
So this is a good debate because I still feel like maybe Snake Island is better for my survival, even though I hate snakes more.
Really?
Because of what you just
said.
Yeah.
You can see. You can.
You can.
I think
they're
easier to avoid. Yeah, probably.
Exactly. That's
unless you're the lighthouse keeper, you're minding your own business, and they come in. I want to know how an island ended up with just this little tiny island. How did it end up with thousands of this deadly snake?
Right.
The rumor, the speculation, I mean, it's just rumor, but they're saying that pirates dumped them there to protect their gold. If that's true, that's...
Ah, so there's like a buried treasure there?
Look, if that's true and they said it's just an urban legend, that's pretty badass.
So wait a minute. Now you're floating on the ocean on the defunct boat.
Yeah.
You can keep floating or go to Snake Island, but on Snake Island is buried treasure.
No.
And if you find it, there's a cell phone that you could call and a chopper will pick you up and you will be whisked away to embarrassing riches.
No.
I think I'm going to Snake Island at that point.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
With your fear of snakes?
Zero.
Well,
you think,
yes.
You think
that's
that
my ticket out.
Do you know where the buried treasure is?
You have to find it.
Zero chance you're making
there
it out alive.
There are thousands of venomous snakes. How are you finding it?
Digging.
So you're exploring like a 7 mile
island. You land on
island.
The sand and you're like, well, yeah. Going to start digging right
think
here.
About how big 7 miles, like just a 7 square mile island is, and it's covered in over 4,000 vipers.
You said it was 7 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm taking my chances. I'm going to die either way.
Now,
might as well die.
You find the treasure and it's like a bunch of like cups and jewels and you're like, great, what do I do with this?
Well, no, it has a cell phone in it, remember?
Now, they're saying in reality, more than likely, about 11,000 years ago, sea levels
yeah,
were...
Yeah, it was underwater, right?
You know, sea levels were low enough that some snakes ended up over there, and then when the sea level rose, it trapped them there.
Trapped.
And with no natural predator there, the snakes were allowed to run wild, and it basically eradicated everything else on the island, only now leaving snakes.
Snakes don't run, though. Slither wild.
Slither wild.
Maybe they just had snake boats and they left Brazil in protest.
Did I tell you what? That poisonous snake island is terrifying.
Yes.
Would you rather go to poisonous snake island or the island of the undocumented tribe that kills everybody that shows up on the shore?
Damn it.
Because remember, there was that one guy who did wind up going there, and they
shot him.
He was killed.
Yeah. Well, they shot him before he even got on the beach.
Well, and that's the
thing. All like stood in a defensive position.
I think that's not the first. I think you got to take a chance on Snake Island.
And I say shot him, bow and arrow, right?
Bow and arrow, yeah. Because they've killed multiple people on that island. At least the snakes aren't actively trying to. I bet you could hang out like on a coastline. And try to kind of
maybe some fire. You're gonna need some fire.
You need some fire. Whereas if you land on that one. They're actively, like, the moment you hit the shore, it's your ass, Mr. Postman. They're coming for you.
I wonder if there's anything you could do to those people to get them to not kill you, as opposed to killing them yourself. Like, is there something you could offer them that they would be like, I'm not going to kill this other
person?
But
that's the thing is, I think the moment you step foot, like, they shoot, like, the planes that hover above, they fly, like, they shoot first and ask questions later. Yeah. I don't think there's anything you could do.
But it's interesting because they're isolated, right?
Yeah.
So why did they come up with this mentality of shoot first, ask questions later?
Right, because that's
they don't know what's coming
after.
They don't
know what's there. I mean, you have no
idea. They think we're aliens. Think about what they may think.
Yeah. You have no idea what an airplane is, a helicopter, anything. You don't really, I mean, they don't go on a boat. So all you know is UCC. I mean, I guess it would be like if you were at home. And something totally foreign to you just showed up and opened your front door. What would you do? Like, I think you kind of
shoot him with my bow and arrow.
The bow and arrow.
I would. Here's someone who says,
"What if you brought Hots though?
Hots or maybe Doritos?
Yeah, Hots with Doritos.
What if you dropped
naked Hots and Doritos
from your airplane helicopter? Food for them.
Yeah.
Like, not Doritos because they're gonna look at that and go, "What is this?" But like actual food that they might recognize as food.
I think that's a start.
Do they then trust you, or are they like, oh, it's a mistake, they dropped their food?
I think that's a start. Yeah. Or they probably think you're trying to poison them.
Yeah, and then they shoot you anyways.
And then they shoot you twice.
What you don't do is roll up on them and say, "I've got a message from Jesus for you." we've learned that that leads you
to... I forgot it was a mission, missionary kind of thing.
Yeah, he felt inspired to spread the word of Jesus, and they felt inspired to spread arrows in his body.
By the way, I've not gotten to snake news.
No.
This guy says, what if you pass Snake Island, and then you pass Spider Island, and in desperation, you land on Spider Snake Island? He's like, the grass is not always greener. That's a good point.
Maybe the two of them are fighting each other, and they'll ignore you. You, like, walk up, and they've got bazookas and rocket launchers, and they're just having a war, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go sneak over here.
Someone asked, what are the snakes eating on Snake Island? I read it. Because there was no ground prey, the snakes have evolved. They climb trees, and they eat birds.
Come on.
Yeah. Whoa. They've taken to the skies.
Well, at least the canopy.
Yeah.
They're not flying.
You don't know that. Yeah, they eat birds. They eat migratory birds.
You're on the boat next to the island, and then like 10 snakes come flying off the trees to your boat.
You can't even go into the canopy.
Spitting venom.
You know, because they say like when you're in the jungle, like Bear Grylls always says, you have to build a platform up so that they, you know, the stuff stays below you.
Who doesn't know that?
Good luck. You're going to the canopy. That's where they hunt. It's probably what the lighthouse keeper thought. Hey, I'm safe and I'm above them. No, you're not. Your ass is dead.
Yeah. I don't want any part of Snake Island. Taking my chances on the open seas.
I'm with you, man. I'm letting nature provide. I can get fish, right, catch some rainwater.
Wait, I do have snake news. There's a story.
Not Snake Island.
Let's go back to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Blazers winning, now they're losing. Wait, they're losing again. But then they were winning. And now they're losing.
It's the NBA.
Down by 7,
really
fourth quarter, 10 minutes to play.
Very NBA game here. Okay, primetime Washington, D.C. A death investigation is underway at a Charles County home full of more than 100 venomous and non-venomous snakes.
Let me just say right now, before you go any further, I have not seen this story. The fact that someone is dead inside a home that had that many venomous snakes, you deserve to die.
100%.
That's your fault. I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't know if you deserve to die, but if you,
yeah,
do,
you do.
Well, if you do die, no one deserve. Well, some people deserve
some
to die.
Some people.
But I don't think they deserve to die, but if you do die, it's like, come on.
That's on you.
It's like the emoji with the hands up.
Exactly.
Deputies went inside the home after a neighbor called 911 when they found a dead man inside. Experts from North Carolina and Virginia are assisting animal control to document the different breeds before figuring out where to move them. Neighbors say they're glad the situation is being taken care of, but they're both scared and grieving. This is a beautifully close neighborhood, said neighbor Doria Fleischer. Neighbors really take care of each other, help each other. Oh, who cares? It's not clear yet how the man died or if a snake was involved.
Oh, it was.
His name and age have not been released. His body is being examined by the medical examiner, and his cause of death will be released in a few weeks.
The cause of death is stupidity for having 100 venomous snakes.
Animal control says it is not clear why the man had so many snakes, but he was taking good care of them. Fox 5 is told he had them secured responsibly and was keeping their temperature and humidity as close as possible to their natural habitats.
What does that have to do with anything? So he was friendly to the snakes so that they wouldn't kill him? You're still dealing with venomous snakes that if you make one mistake, it's your ass.
He had cobras, black mambas, pythons, and rattlesnakes.
Dumbass.
All of which are illegal to have in Maryland.
Even though he was treating them apparently with love and kindness.
But the non-venomous snakes are okay. I guess you can have those.
Yeah. I mean,
it says.
Who's collecting rattlesnakes, cobras, and black mambas? What are you, a big Kobe Bryant fan, are you?
Yeah, I just think that's weird.
I've seen one too many kung fu movies, my man.
So they don't know if the snakes got him? But I bet you the snakes got him.
Well, one would think, right?
What an idiot.
That's what I say about anyone with a deadly animal. If you own you see this like where the lady, you know, it's like, oh, I have a tiger and it just roams around my backyard. Or, you know, I've got an adult chimpanzee or I've got a king cobra. If you have a wild animal that on any given day, if it just decides that it's going to kill you, there's nothing you can do about it. Dude, that's on you. That you just win the Darwin Award. Why would you have something that its instincts are to kill you and it can, even if it doesn't even mean to, if it just gets annoyed one day and loses its temper for half a second, you're still dead.
Snakes have tempers?
I would assume so. You can piss a snake off. You know, if you sit there and like you're poking at it, or maybe you're trying to move it into a cage, like a different one, or you know, whatever. I'm sure there's times where snakes feel threatened or feel annoyed, or you're in its space and it decides to not even necessarily try to kill you, but it's like, hey, back away, and then it nicks you once on the hand, and now you're dead.
You think in the snake world there are like super clumsy snakes and that all get made fun of by the other snakes?
I would assume so.
Dorky snakes.
Right? That don't really have it. Yeah, I mean, there's evolution. Not every snake is like an apex predator.
Well, yeah, that's a weird story. But I don't know why you would have snakes, because I don't see I get the dangers of the snake. Like you're talking about, you're asking for it because of the dangers of the snakes. We all know the dangers.
Yes.
But there's no upside. Like, what do you play with it?
No.
Like,
you,
what?
You can't.
It's not cute. No. It doesn't cuddle with you. It doesn't talk to you. It doesn't hang with you. It doesn't even like you.
I think it's a.
What is it?
I think it's an adrenaline sort of thing.
You feel cool?
Yes. That it's like you're surrounded by these deadly creatures, but you think you're in control, and that sort of...
Dude, that's so dumb.
You know, that sort of whatever you
go
call
to
it.
Therapy.
Like that rush that you get. Yeah.
I think all snake owners should be in therapy.
Well...
It's not normal.
I tend to agree with you.
It's not normal.
But I get the people that a non-venomous snake, whatever. It's just an animal that looks a little creepy. But
even that, why?
Well, but if there was like a poisonous dog, right? Let's say you got all these dogs over here that are fine, and then you got a group of poisonous dogs. Why on God's green earth would you choose the poisonous dog? You're like, oh, I like the way that one looks better. Yeah, but that one over there is fairly similar. Like, what is the king snake and the coral snake, right? Was that the red touches yellow, you're a dead fellow. Red touches black, you're okay, Jack. They look basically the same.
Wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Should be a teacher.
There you go. They're basically the same snake. Same size, look alike. The color is just reversed. Why would you choose the...
Makes no sense.
Why would you choose the venomous one?
I don't get it.
You can get everything out of the... It's the exact same thing, but you're like, no, I want the one that could kill me. You're a moron. You're an idiot. Which is why I have zero sympathy... when one of these yahoos ends up getting nicked.
Is it like super lifted truck guy? Is that the same guy?
It might be. But I think it's like the...
Very overcompensating?
But I think it's the guy that super truck guy beat up when he was in high school.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like trench coat guy.
There you go. Right there. Trench coat, old military coat guy becomes snake guy. High school all-city football player, he becomes lifted truck guy.
Okay.
And they're natural enemies. Snake guy and truck guy are natural enemies in the wild, but they both overcompensate for being a little out to lunch.
I'll never understand it. So we'll keep you posted on the autopsy of that dude. I guarantee those snakes ate him. Or, I mean, killed him.
Yeah, they killed
him. They didn't eat him yet.
And even if you say, well, there's none missing, it doesn't mean that you were transferring one, you got nicked, you throw it back in the cage.
Right.
And you're like, oh, crap, I got to go deal with this. And meanwhile,
well, how do they know there were none missing?
Yeah,
Could be 50 snakes that left the house. How do they know that?
Good point. Yeah, because they're illegal. He didn't have like a flight manifest.
Some of them were like, this place is pretty nice, I'm gonna hang here. Others are like, we're out.
You imagine being the one that has to go in there and get that body, and you got to be thinking, hey, there's a good chance that one of these that killed this a-hole, yeah, he's still cruising around the floorboard somewhere.
Right.
Nah, I ain't going in there.
No, that's for animal control.
That house gets lit on fire, body inside.
Hell
and
yeah.
All. It's just, you torch it. You know what? He wanted to die with the snakes. And the snakes want to die with him. The whole thing can go up in flames.
Mm. All right, guys. Up next. That story is too long. I can't present that story.
Yeah, we got a short one.
Yeah, I got a great story about keeping your child. What? Yeah, this is a wild story.
Keeping your child.
Well, we'll do it next week, but here's the gist of it.
Yeah.
They switched kids at birth. It was a mistake in the NICU. You know, like in the hospital?
Yeah.
And the moms got the wrong kids. And years later, because of DNA testing for something or other, they figured it out. And the story, I won't spoil it for you, but the story is, what did the moms do?
I was gonna say, did they have a choice?
They did have a choice.
I think I keep the one I got.
The question is, do you keep the one that you were given, or do you take your biological child?
I think I keep.
This is a real story.
Is the kid that I got kind of a nincompoop?
Well, here's... I think that does matter.
I think it does.
I think it's a fair question.
Right?
Here is the kicker. One of them is very poor. The other is very rich.
Damn.
Yeah.
Boy, I am intrigued by this.
That story next week. It is 6:37. Here's Mike.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, well, we're already over, so I can't present any material to you here.
No,
it would
especially
not be,
that story.
It would not be right. Well, that story I will give to you next week, and it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But we can't do it here.
No, we don't
you know,
have enough
our
time.
Our stories that we present to you on this show are vetted many, many times over by an entire crew of people. I don't know how many people know that, but...
It's a whole process.
It's a process, and it takes months. I will not be presenting you the...
Just willy-nilly bring you a story.
We don't just throw crap out there.
What do you think we are?
I mean, we're radio professional journalists.
Yes.
I can't even say that with a straight face.
They host a show that comes after the show that boasts the sports... broadcaster of the year.
That's right.
Take that.
Believe it. So
take
on that note...
Her, like credentials, like rub off on us, like by osmosis sort of thing.
I'm fine with my own credentials.
You're bona fides. You're like, I'm good.
Bona fide.
Good.
On that note, we must punt to our next segment of radio broadcast, which is very exciting because it will include your brother.
Yeah. Who I don't know if he has anything, going on, but
John Sicanic.
We'll find out. What, you all right?
Oh, I'm watching the Blazers.
You got caught up in Nurk fever?
Yeah, well, Nurk just falls a lot,
Well, it's kind of what he does.
I mean, I feel like that's an offensive foul, but...
I think that's what they called.
So, yeah, I could be an official.
You could be. Now, that I would like to see. Isaac Rod running up and down the court. You think you get winded?
I would take, yes. I would take no S.
Do you have to be in shape to be an NBA official?
I think you do, dude. You're running a lot.
Are you really
running? Yes. Well, I mean, you're... Yes, you do. Yes, you have to be in shape.
Look, that guy down there is 1,000 years old.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not in shape. Look at him. He's chucking, man. I'd call fouls from the other end of the court.
Well, they kind of do. You don't have to run the full length.
No, but you got to be in shape. Come on. That's a stupid question. You know you have to be in shape to be an NBA ref.
My dad's a high school official. Is there that much more running in an NBA game?
Yes.
Because my dad does it at a high school level. My dad's not, he's not necessarily in the best shape.
Yeah, the
Dick Bavetta is in good shape?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I bet he has good cardio, dude. Hell yeah.
Now I kind of want to see you try to ref a game. Dick Bavetta is in better shape than you?
I mean, you can't be calling a game all huffing and puffing, you know? It's a bad look.
Didn't Dick Bavetta race Charles Barkley once?
Sure did.
Did that happen? Who won?
I don't remember.
I got to look that up now.
All right.
And he's not reffing anymore.
No, he's 100 years old.
I was going to say.
We got to go. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Big Bad John.
All right, here's John on a Friday night. How are you?
I'm well. Just mourning the loss of the great Meatloaf today and Louis Anderson.
Yeah, I was wondering, when you said that, I knew what was coming, but I was wondering which one you would mention first. And I'm surprised you said Meatloaf first.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's definitely Louis Anderson would be more. I get what you're saying, and there's a reason I said Meatloaf first, but Louis Anderson to me was the bigger deal. I really liked Louis Anderson. I liked him when he hosted The Family Feud. I like his movies. I don't know if you ever watched the show Baskets. Did you ever see Baskets?
No.
Yeah, he played Galifianakis's mom.
I've heard that. Yeah, didn't he win awards for that?
Yeah, tons. In fact, you were talking last night about shows to watch. Go find Baskets. It's Zach Galifianakis stars as this kind of goofy, dysfunctional kid. Louis Anderson plays his mom, and it's hilarious. It's really, really funny. You should check it out. So that's a show rest. But the reason that I mentioned Meatloaf first is, again, I'm not a huge fan of Meatloaf, but I appreciate some of his stuff. And I was online today reading some – I got stuck in a Meatloaf vortex, and I was reading some articles about him. And he's a pretty interesting dude. I found this article today that was like 10 interesting things you don't know about Meatloaf. And so I was going to share with you guys the top three because I think you'd find them interesting.
Let's go.
So the first thing about him is he was at the hospital when they brought JFK's body after the assassination.
No way.
Yes. Then I guess there had been some rumors that he saw the assassination, like he was in Daley Plaza when it happened, but he gave an interview that said, no, that's not true. But he was at the hospital. I guess they lived in Dallas and his dad was in law enforcement. He was at the hospital when they brought Kennedy's body in Dallas after he'd been assassinated.
Okay. Cool.
No idea.
And then number two was his dad tried to kill him once. I guess his dad was an alcoholic and came home one night and would do crazy things and said Meatloaf was a kid. He woke up and the dad was standing over his bed with a knife and he went to stab him and he had to roll out of the way onto the floor and the knife went into the mattress. They got in a fight and he ran away from home and never came back.
Jesus. Was JFK?
And then the one I thought was the most crazy is even crazier than the Kennedy thing was he picked up a hitchhiker once in California and thought the guy was a little weird and the guy wanted a ride to wherever and where they were going. He said, one of the Beach Boys lives there. I'll introduce you to the Beach Boy when we get there. And so Meatloaf was like, all right, cool. So they went there and he said the guy was weird and talking weird about end of the world and apocalypse and stuff. And he dropped the guy off and turned out the Beach Boy wasn't there. So he didn't think anything of it. Thought the guy was kind of crazy. And he left and he said like a month later, he sees him on the news. It's Charles Manson.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. Meatloaf picked up a hitchhiking Charles Manson like a couple of months before the murders and gave him a ride to, I forget the Beach Boy that was involved with the Manson, but one of the Wilsons maybe. And And he gave him a ride, and then he saw it on the news. It's like, dude, I picked up that guy and gave him a ride. And
holy
it was Charles Manson.
Crap.
That's crazy, because I've picked up three or four hitchhikers in my, probably a little more. And I've always wondered that, like, is, you know, because they were kind of drifters. Obviously, they were hitchhikers. I've always wondered that, like, whatever happened to those dudes? And
right.
To find out that one of them was was Charles Manson? Holy crap.
Yeah. So I just thought that was crazy. And then there was some other stuff in there, but nothing. Those were by far the three biggest, like, oh, my gosh, that happened to this guy. And so just interesting dude, interesting life. I mean, bunch of, movie star and rock star. And just his name was Meatloaf, and just, kind of weird. But, I just kind of thought that was fun.
Was his name really Meatloaf?
No.
I guess also in that thing, I guess when he was young, they called him Meat, like, hey, Meat, and then it turned into Meatloaf, and that's what he went by, and it was a whole thing. So I guess he was also a high school girls softball coach.
Okay.
Like, he coached girls high school softball for a long time. His hometown or wherever was pretty good at it.
Well, I don't find that interesting.
Marvin Lee Addy, it looks.
Marvin Lee, okay. Yep. Well, rest in peace, Meatloaf.
His name is Robert Paulson.
And rest in peace, Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
Yep, good dude.
Hilarious. What? Hello?
No, I said rest in peace. They were good dudes, it sounds like.
Okay, bye. Have a good weekend.
You too. See you guys.
Love your sexy body. All right, you guys. Have a great weekend. Remember, Ozark drops tonight. Netflix. Have a great great time watching football.
There you go.
Watching tennis and golf this weekend. We'll be back with a hot Australian Open report on Monday.
I want your big thoughts on the UFC fight, please.
Yes. And we will return Monday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.